Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Chase McCabe Show, hour number two, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Nick Frazier with you today, per usual. Hope everybody is having a great Tuesday. So I heard this yesterday, Nick, and obviously Colin Cowherd does a great job for Fox Sports. He's also, we're proud to have him on 94.9 The Fan, that you can hear him starting at 11 weekdays when we give you national options over there on 94.9 The Fan. But he posts a lot to his Instagram, and so like there's snippets from the show and everything. But I happened to be, after this show, kind of flipping through, and I listened, and I was like, did he just say what I think he just said about Andrew Luck? And it's hard to believe that Andrew Luck has been out of the league. I guess it's been 5 years, almost 5 years, since he had abruptly retired. And the Colts have gone through their quarterback carousel of trying to find his replacement. But I heard this, and I immediately was like, well, I got to use this because I have a feeling that people will react. This was Colin Cowherd on whether or not Andrew Luck should be in the Hall of Fame.
Do you know Andrew Luck is just about eligible for the Hall of Fame next year? Andrew Luck! You know I love me some Andrew Luck. And I know what you're saying. I mean, Colin, come on. He only played for about 6 years. If you're going to let compilers into all these Hall of Fames, people who were very good and played for a long time, then I'm going to fight for great briefly. Andrew Luck did something I don't think Brady or Patrick Mahomes, Favre, Bradshaw, Aikman could do. He took a horrible roster and went 11-5, 11-5, 11-5. In fact, four Pro Bowls in 5 years. They never had a losing season when he was healthy, which is remarkable because according to PFF, the Andrew Luck era had the 28th best defense, the 24th best rushing game, and a bottom six offensive line.
Okay.
And he got to the AFC Championship.
Sorry, there was a pause there. But all right. So I hear him. I hear what he's saying. So 2012 is rookie year. Played all 16 games, started all 16 games, went 11-5. He went 11-5 his first 3 years. Okay. We got that. 40 touchdowns in year 3. Pro Bowl all those years. 2015, He only played 7 games, went 2-5. That's when the injury started. 2016, 15 games, went 8-7. Didn't play 2017, played one more year in 2018, and went 10-6, had a kind of a bounce back year. So not a very long career, only 86 games in his career, but 53-33 in all. He had 2,000 completions exactly in his short career.
Typical Andrew Luck.
So where he really got me was when he said that Andrew Luck did something that Brady and Mahomes and Aikman and like some of those quarterbacks that he didn't think they could do, which I go, Colin. Now, Aikman, yeah, as much as I love the Dallas Cowboys, I mean, I think, yeah, but Mahomes and Brady and Favre, I don't know if I'm going to buy that one, but I take nothing away. Andrew Luck was on some teams that he elevated. He made them better. I mean, that's why being around here, we were all like, you got to be kidding me. They go from Manning to Luck. I mean, like they you know, go from one goat to another. So like I don't disagree that what he did was not, you know, great and was not awesome. I don't think it was Hall of Fame worthy. I think he would have been. I think had he stayed, had he continued to play, when he retired in 2018, it's 2023, who knows what he would have done in that time span. But it's the Hall of Fame. It's not the Hall of Very Good. And basically what I look at is the numbers that I see, and yes, I know the situation of the teams and that the teams weren't very good at the time, it was still very good. It could even be the category of very, very good. I don't think it was Hall of Fame worthy. And I know there are going to be people that are going to argue like, well, Terrell Davis didn't play very long, and he got in different positions. I mean, that one's on the fence. Like I think Terrell Davis obviously was great, but you know it wasn't very long. And I mean, I think there's some running backs. I'll use Eddie George as an example that can use that argument to their advantage, I believe, because Eddie had longevity, and Eddie's almost getting punished for the longevity to not get in, and Terrell Davis gets rewarded for not playing very long and gets in the Hall of Fame. I think it's different though for a quarterback.
100%. And you make a good point with Andrew Luck with his stats. Yes, they are phenomenal, but I'm pretty sure if the Colts have some sort of, you know, Ring of Honor or their own Hall of Fame of some degree, he'll probably be in that. And
I think he's already in it.
He should have his own statue if we're talking at it right now. You know what I mean? Peyton Manning, and then you put Andrew Luck on the other side.
you give him a statue?
I mean, from what it sounds like, everybody just praises Andrew Luck like he's the next Peyton Manning, which he kind of was to the Colts. But I wouldn't personally give him a statue. But no. I'm just saying, maybe Indianapolis does.
Let's see. Let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Greg A. says, hell no, Andrew Luck should not be in the Hall of Fame. What did he win or records that he hold to justify this conversation? See, that's where I'm at. I mean, I think it was a Hall of very, very good in a short amount of time, and I take nothing away from that. It's not Hall of Fame worthy. Wow. Okay, a Titans fan. As a diehard Titans fan, Andrew Luck should absolutely be in the Hall of Fame. See, I had a feeling this was going to be a kind of a 50-50 on this.
See, with that answer, though, is there not a follow-up of, like, some sort of, you know, statistics or some sort of something to back up that answer? Because that's what bothers me. It's like, you can say it could be in the Hall of Fame, but give me a true case, you know? I want a true case.
Indy Ben, okay, I was curious if he was going to weigh in, because the morning show talked about this a little bit. Robbie and Rex wrote, and they were asking if Indy Ben would text in. He just texted into us, and I think gives the best answer that you can possibly give. Luck was on track to be a Hall of Famer, but when you abruptly retire in the prime of your career, I'm sorry, you don't achieve that reward.
Frame it. Frame that right now.
Indy Ben, you are spot on. You and I are 100% on the same page. I mean, it was sad. Like, when he retired, I felt that was a guy that was just, he was hurting. He was beat up. I mean, he had already missed 1 year because of the shoulder. And you could just tell it just the love of the game wasn't there anymore. And, you know, D-Mace has talked about, and D-Mace had a full career. You know, you talk about a guy that can make an argument for Hall of Fame. And he said, look, my last year, just the love wasn't there anymore. And that's when you know. And so if Andrew Luck didn't love the game anymore, then I get it. And I understand why he decided to walk away. I always kind of felt like he might take the year off and heal up and then come back. And he ultimately didn't do that. And I don't know if that was because the love truly never came back, or if it was like, no, I've made my decision. I have to stick to my decision. And I'm not going to come back. I mean, I look that there's a few athletes that I look at that could have done that, could have taken that year off to reset. And they ultimately are like, nope, this is the call I made, and so I'm going to stick to it. And I kind of feel like that's what he did. And he and the other thing, too, is he's been gone. Like, he didn't do TV or anything. I mean, he retired, he did the press conference, and it was, hey, see ya.
Yeah.
And like, he hadn't been around at all.
And that's the thing is with Andrew Luck, I feel like he realized that he could make a decent living outside of football, and he was – probably, like you said, he made up his mind, understood that he was pretty comfortable outside of football, and just stuck to his guns.
Yeah, he did. I mean, and I respect him for it. But to Colin Cowherd's point, and I look, Colin's opinion, whether you like him or not, I thought he backed it up. You know, he obviously believes that he thinks that Andrew Luck should be in the Hall of Fame, and you know. Maybe the voters will agree with him. I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think they will. I think they'll look at it as it's six seasons of, you know, really, really good work, but not Hall of Fame. I mean, there's no championship, in which you'll hear me say, you know, as you join the show now, Nick, that I'm one of those that I hate the argument of, oh, well, they didn't win the Super Bowl, so he shouldn't get in the Hall of Fame. That's a team award. You know, I individual accomplishments. But even then, you know, now that I don't think that it's enough to say he's a Hall of Famer.
Now, let me pose this question to you before we go to a break. Is if Andrew Luck were to come back with the Colts in some capacity, not as a player, but on their staff, and they end up having some sort of success with Super Bowls, AFC South championships, does that end up getting him into the Hall of Fame?
It shouldn't. I mean, he's not playing.
I mean, you have some coaches that end up, you know, getting the Hall of Fame through that type of
stuff. Yeah, well, okay, yeah. I mean, if he becomes a Hall of Fame coach, then sure. But, you know, if I took it as you were asking, does that help this case as a player?
And no. I'm just saying, though, you can't mix both of those together, the careers of a player and a coach. You can't mix those together. Some would say they could. That's why I posed the question.
I guess off the top of my head, Dick LeBeau is the one that pops out to me as a Hall of Fame player and a Hall of Fame coach. But, would you consider Ditka a Hall of Fame coach?
Mm.
I mean, the 85 Bears could be one of the best teams, if not the best team in NFL history.
I mean, if we're just looking at it that way, then sure. Mm. That's more of like on the fence, and if you're on the fence, you're leaning towards yes. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, so it would be two separate categories for me. Chris, another Colts fan, I agree with Indy Ben. If Luck kept playing, he'd be in. And I agree with that. He would. I 100%. He was a great player, but didn't get a Super Bowl or break any records before retiring. Ron, this is interesting. Ron says, if that's the case, CJ2K should be in the Hall of Fame along with other players who have had similar short careers due to injuries or early retirement. I don't know if I'd really say that Chris Johnson retired due to injury. I mean, he played. How long did Chris play?
He played with the Cardinals, Jets.
Yeah, he left here and went to the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Cardinals and...
I believe he went back to the Jets for a second time.
Am I missing a team? No, it was just... No. Okay, so he was here 1 year with the Jets, 3 years with the Cardinals. But, I mean, he played 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good career. But, look, I don't think CJ's in the Hall of Fame. And he'll be the only 2,000-yard receiver that isn't, or running back. I mean, because I think, you know, Henry needs to do a little bit more, but I think Henry has a good shot at it.
Yeah, and, like, Henry's made a good case of almost having back-to-back 2,000-yard seasons. That's the
right
thing. It's like, he's close to that number.
That's the other thing, too, and I sometimes hate that argument, but of, like, well, he would have if this hadn't happened. I mean, that's what we're doing here. I mean, we're saying with Andrew Luck, he probably would be in the Hall of Fame had he continued to play. Just like if Derrick Henry hadn't gotten hurt, you can already give him the gold jacket. If he had gone back-to-back 2,000-yard seasons and he was probably going to shatter the record, then, yeah, go ahead and hang the gold jacket in his locker. I mean, I don't think anybody would have argued that. But it didn't happen. You know, you can sit here and you can say, well, had he done that? Well, he didn't. So that's kind of where we're at on this. But 615-737-1025, if you want to continue to weigh in on if you believe Andrew Luck should be in the Hall of Fame, like Colin Cowherd says, we'll continue to take your texts and even a phone call or two if you want to weigh in. 615-737-1025, it's the Chase McCabe Show, 1025-1063 The Game. Broadcasting live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Chase McCabe, Nick Frazier with ya. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Or video streaming presented by Superbook Sports. Download that app. Use my promo code Chase when you sign up. Should Andrew Luck be in the Hall of Fame? And also we'll have some Big Machine Music City Grand Prix tickets to give away here in just a little bit. But should Andrew Luck be in the Hall of Fame? It's something Colin Cowherd brought up yesterday on his show. Now, earlier we had a Titans fan text in, and he's literally sent this last point three times. Don't worry, I'm getting to it. But earlier he said, as a diehard Titans fan, Andrew Luck should absolutely be in the Hall of Fame. Then says, following up on what I said again, I'm a diehard Titans fan, and I believe he should be in the Hall of Fame. He's ranked third in most passing yards in quarterbacks for six seasons, ranked second out of all quarterbacks in NFL history with the second most passing touchdowns in a quarterback for six seasons. He set the Colts franchise record for most passing yards in a single season and had four seasons with over 4,000 passing yards. It was a regular Pro Bowler. I'm not debating any of that. Again, really, really good in a short amount of time, but never made a Super Bowl appearance, didn't win a Super Bowl. Was he an All-Pro? I want to say he was.
1 year, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
2011?
Yeah, and see, look, Pro Bowls are great, and it's an accomplishment. I don't think it means as much now as it maybe used to. But, like, if you're an All-Pro, then okay. Like, I think there's a little more to that, being an All-Pro than a Pro Bowler.
I believe it was the 2011-2012 season, I think. That was his rookie year, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'd have to go back and look that up. So, look, I hear what you're saying, Texter. You're entitled to your opinion, just like I think that there's going to be a mixed bag. I wanted to bring it up here because I kind of felt like Titans fans would be like, oh, hell no. Like, he doesn't need to be in the Hall of Fame. So I think it's interesting that a Titans fan is going, no, he should. Josh from Lebanon, if Luck had not abruptly retired, the possibility of him being in the Hall would be greater. When you retire like he did, you forfeit all those accolades that would come with the type of career he was tracking. I don't know if I say you forfeit those accolades. I mean, you still have the accolades. I just think you needed more, especially at the quarterback position. Because think about who he's going to, you know, have to compete with. Because, okay, let's just break this down like this. He's not first ballot. Like, if he's going to be in Hall of Fame, he's not first ballot. So if he's got to be on the ballot for a while, guess who he's going to have to compete with? Brady. Well, he's in. I would put Brady in right now. Like, do you really want to have an interesting discussion? And I've said this before. Now that we're pretty sure Brady's retired, like week one, I'm announcing him and going ahead and putting him in. Like 100%. Gretzky rule him, I have no issue with it whatsoever. Put him in. Don't make him wait 5 years. I don't care. And even if he does come back, I still don't care. Like he's a Hall of Famer. Put him in. So there's one end of the spectrum to the next. So Brady, you know Brady's taking a spot. Rodgers is eventually going to retire and take a spot. Who else is up? Right. You know, somebody asked about Steve McNair. I don't think McNair's going to get in. There's an argument for it, but I ultimately don't think he's going to get in his career. But off the top of my head, just trying to think of other quarterbacks that have retired in the last five, 6 years.
The argument for McNair, 31,000 passing yards. I believe Andrew Luck had around 23,000. So, like, there's a little bit of wiggle room there. I mean, conversion rate, passer rating, Andrew Luck had 89.5 in his career. I can't find Steve McNair's right now. I'll get it to you in a second. But I believe that would be something to compare as well. I don't know. I can't get it across my head that Andrew Luck is a Hall of Fame caliber player. I mean, yes, let me rephrase that. Yes, Hall of Fame caliber player, but does not have the resume for it just yet.
Did not put enough skins on the wall, correct, in my opinion.
Correct.
And by the way, to something I was saying earlier when somebody asked about Chris Johnson and the 2,000-yard club. So the 2,000-yard club, O.J. Simpson Hall of Fame, Eric Dickerson Hall of Fame, Barry Sanders Hall of Fame, Terrell Davis Hall of Fame, Jamal Lewis, well, that was the one. I knew there was one that I was leaving off that may not get in. And Jamal Lewis, I would say, will never get in. So I think Jamal Lewis, Chris Johnson don't get in. Adrian Peterson, yes. Derrick Henry, probably. That's, you know, I wanted to look that up. But, yeah, so the Andrew Luck stuff, interesting discussion for sure. And the Titans fan – man, Titans fan really putting up for Andrew Luck. Also had 21 fourth quarter comebacks.
I guess because he owned the franchise from like 2012 right to 2015, 16.
So apparently, you know, we had a test of the EAS, and so nobody heard my Brady thing. What I was saying in just the complete other end of the spectrum with this argument was, I would put Tom Brady in the Hall of Fame like tomorrow. Like, don't make him wait. Just let him in. He's going in anyway. I don't even care if he came back. Like, if you put him in tomorrow and then he was like, oh, I'm going to come back. Like, I don't care. Why does that bother me? Doesn't bother me at all.
He's got so much. It's like a Thanksgiving plate. He has so much on the plate that, like, if you go back for seconds, you're totally okay with it.
Yeah. I mean, he's the greatest of all time. He is. Whether you love him or you hate him, and I hated him for a long time. I hated him with the Patriots. Now, when he did the face turn, you know, to use the wrestling reference, and he went to Tampa, and, you know, he's drinking the tequila and tossing the Lombardi Trophy with Gronk, like, that was fun. But the dude is the dude. There are dudes, and there is the dude, and he is the dude. And so I would have no issue if the Pro Football Hall of Fame came out in this year, and then they're doing everything in August, the Hall of Fame game, they go, we're going to do something unprecedented. Tom Brady is in the Hall of Fame. I'd have no issue with it whatsoever. And I don't think anybody – I think even Hall of Famers that had to wait wouldn't have an issue with it.
Yeah. I think if Brady was put in, like you're saying, today or tomorrow – there are some people that have probably been on the ballot for a few years now. They're like, yeah,
sure.
And I mean, hurts a little bit, but
right. You can be disappointed and be like, but I mean, can you really argue it?
You get it. It's like, yeah, one of the things, like, you get it.
Yeah. So I think that's interesting. If you have that end of it, and then you have the Andrew Luck side of short amount of time, you know, should he be in? Now, ultimately, I say no, but a good discussion nonetheless.
Yeah, now, the people that were asking about Steve McNair possibly having an argument for it, I'm looking here on StatMuse. According to StatMuse, it says his percentage over his career was 60.1 passer rating. I don't know how accurate that sounds, but...
That's probably about right. But he had the MVP, co-MVP year, which
right,
has never been done, and I still have an issue with that. But, I don't know. I think he's just shy of it.
Yeah.
Again, Hall of Really Good.
Hall of Really Good. You know what, Chase? We should just start a list. Hall of Really Good.
Oh, that'd be a fun list.
It would be.
Because, I mean, look, I say with Luck, I think he's the Hall of Really, Really Good.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Would you put him at number one?
Luck?
Yeah.
Ooh, probably.
I mean, see, this is a better list than actually probably trying to put him into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, it's... What position, too? I mean, because here's the other thing. There's some positions that don't get recognized like they should in the Hall of Fame. I mean, I'd have no problem with more kickers and punters. I mean, it's an important position. I think special teams. Like, Devin Hester should be in because he's the greatest special teams player of all time. D-Mace should have more of an argument to be in the Hall of Fame because of what he did on special teams in addition to what he did as a receiver.
Absolutely.
You know, like, I think you can certainly make an argument there, but, you know, that didn't help Andrew Luck. So, like I said, good discussion. This is real quick. Ron said, when Derrick Rose came into the league, the Bulls knew they had a Hall of Famer, but knee injuries stopped that. He was so awesome, but no Hall of Fame. I think that's fair.
Valid statement.
D. Rose, now with Memphis.
Yeah.
I like that signing, by the way, having him there. Coming up next, Tim Corbin, Vanderbilt baseball coach, going to join us. Obviously, the MLB draft has been going on, and he's had a few players that have come through the program, and we'll head to the bigs one day very soon. We'll talk to Coach Corbs. Coming up next, Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, that's me, here with you, Nick Frazier, on the ones and twos. It's been a busy few days for baseball with their draft going on, the Home Run Derby last night, All-Star Game tonight. And, you know, whenever there's a MLB draft, usually you hear the Vanderbilt Commodores name thrown around. So we say hello to their head coach, Tim Corbin, who is on the line with us. Corbs, how are you?
Good, Chase. How you doing?
Doing fantastic. Good to talk to you. And, you know, I've enjoyed the last few days because I get all the media emails from Vanderbilt and everything on your program. And, I'm just sitting there. My phone's lighting up. And it's, you know, so-and-so drafted and so-and-so drafted. And once again, a lot of your boys that you've done a lot of work with over the last few years. Get that call, and I know how excited you must be for them. Not just Enrique Bradfield going in the first round, but everybody from your program that got that call to go to the majors.
I am. I'm excited for them personally and their families. It's a gift for them when they work at a level and invest at a level where they can actually grow as a player and then have an opportunity to extend themselves. And this time for them, as we talk about a lot, is just it's a small window. But if they can take that window and expand it a little bit in years and help, then and potentially do something they really, really enjoy and get paid for it, then it's certainly a gift. But I'm certainly happy for all of them.
Yeah, and I can remember the conversations, you know, over the years that, you know, you had with Darren and Willie and me about the draft being when you guys are still in the playoffs and still in the College World Series, and they couldn't enjoy the moment. Now they've finally gotten this right. I like that it's right around this time that these kids can enjoy that moment with their families and actually embrace it and not have to worry about also doing a job at the same time.
Well, that's right. I mean, it was awkward before because it was right in the middle of competition, and that kind of takes away from team because as an individual, when you are gifted the opportunity to be drafted by a team, it's, you know, there's a lot of emotion to it, and that emotion, it gets taken towards that, and it's very tough for a young kid to kind of be able to share his interest, so to speak. And they try, but I'm glad it's positioned in the manner that it is right now, just from a standpoint of it's into the summer enough to where, you know, kids can get done with what they're doing and then just focus on that.
Vanderbilt baseball coach Tim Corbin is on the line with us. And so obviously Enrique Bradfield Jr. goes 17th overall to Baltimore. Willie and I were talking about this yesterday, and I said, yeah, I like that fit for him. But what were kind of your thoughts when you saw it was going to be the Orioles and he ends up going in the first round?
Well, I think he could have gone to a lot of different teams, but I feel like that particular club right now is they've got a chance to be special just because they've got a lot of good young kids that are on the major league roster right now. They're playing pretty well. They certainly have a very good farm system. Jackson Holliday was their first pick last year, and Jackson's playing quite well, and he's a friend of our family, having had his uncle coach for us. So I think Enrique being part of that is exciting for him. I talked to a radio station yesterday in Baltimore about him, and, you know, I feel he's one of those kids that can move rather quick. He's got an element to him that the major league game doesn't have a lot of, and that's just the ability to cover a lot of ground in center field, and he can certainly do that. He's a special, special center fielder. We haven't had someone like that. We've had some great center fielders, and it's not minimizing what they've done, but this kid does things differently. And also his offensive abilities, too, his ability to put the ball in play and then his ability to run once he gets on base. So I feel, especially with the changes that have been made in Major League Baseball with the bases and the number of times you can pick off over to first and second, then he certainly can take advantage of that. And he certainly is going to find ways to score runs. Score runs is going to help them win, and help them win is certainly something Baltimore's been doing.
It's no secret that, you know, you talk to anybody that's come through your program there at Vanderbilt that they maintain that connection to Vanderbilt, to you, and you know, they're Vandy boys for life. I mean, that's kind of how it is. So with that being said, what is kind of your role in the pre-draft process? Do you let them come to you if they want advice? Do you reach out right before and, you know, give them a pep talk? How does that relationship continue as they get ready for the draft and the next step?
Usually talk about it in the fall. You know, talk about what their thoughts are in the fall, and knowing that they don't have any control of it. Control is of their abilities and what they do, but we talk about their thoughts and if you were selected in a certain position, what it would take for you to leave school. And I just don't try to put too much pressure on, number one, because I don't talk about those outcomes as much, because I think a lot of times they get in their way, and I don't want that for them. We want to try to loosen the burdens here as much as possible to where they can just get on the field and play for their team, which they do. But then as we get closer to the draft, you basically have an idea based on your conversations with a scouting community where a kid fits inside the draft. And once that happens, then we have a few more conversations, but we keep them pretty tight and pretty small because we're still focusing on the team. And then, to your point earlier about the draft being removed from the season, it gives you time really to break down the year and break down their thoughts on what they want to do. So our conversations are pretty clean, really. They're pure. They're transparent. I mean, we talk about what they want to do, and we try to help them and guide them along. And if I felt differently about it, I guess I would say, well, I would definitely speak to it, but typically we're on the same page.
Tim Corbin is with us. Baseball, college baseball is unique in that, you know, a kid can skip college altogether and get drafted right out of high school. And, you know, which is obviously asking a lot, but, you know, for you that, you know, you're doing your job, you're building a program, you're recruiting. What layer of, I guess, difficulty does that add to, you know, being a college baseball coach, knowing that there are some guys that you may talk to and think would be a great fit for your team, but a major league team will come along too and think the same thing?
Yeah, and that's happened. I mean, it's probably going to happen here. I mean, we had four players selected very high. And if they got selected high, then there's been communication between the player and the club that they would sign for that amount of money. Now, certainly things can break down, but I would assume that we're probably going to lose them. And really what you want to do is recover the balance of your recruiting class. And the recruiting classes for us are so important. I mean, we lost eight last year and really hurt us. I mean, it showed up, and we don't want to go through years and years of back-to-back loss like that, because we don't operate a lot in the portal. And occasionally we do with a guy like Shrek who got selected yesterday. But at the same time, we really want to build our roster based on the new kids coming in as much as possible. So we depend on that. And when we lose them, then it becomes difficult. I mean, you're happy for them individually, but I'm not happy for Vanderbilt. I'm not happy for Vanderbilt that we potentially are going to lose George Lombard or Thomas White or Alex Clemmie, because we were, you know, hoping that they would come here and hoping that they would grow. But certainly their decision and their family decision, and we're going to wish them well regardless. But our attention quickly turns to the kids that are here. And once they're here, our goal is to build them at a level where when their time comes again as a junior, that they're actually going to shorten the time between a college uniform and a big league uniform, because there's a difference. There's a difference in playing professional baseball versus playing in the big leagues. You play in the big leagues, it's like you got to earn your black belt. There's levels of growth that you have to be exposed to. So that's what we look towards when these kids come here.
Tim Corbin is with us, Vanderbilt baseball coach. So I've been kind of using this phrase lately of changing the standard, because I think everything evolves, you know, as you grow and as you go along. You've been at Vanderbilt a long time. You've built this program. It's known. Everybody knows what those expectations are. But how do you evolve the standard and the expectations as the game of college baseball and college athletics in general evolve?
Yeah, I think there's times where you got to reinvent yourself or reinvent what you're doing. You have to really methodically look at what you're doing, how you're doing it, and if you have to adjust to it. And I think the portal and NIL would be two of those huge factors right now that are in college baseball that, you know, I don't want to sell my soul to that. I just feel like NIL, yeah, I mean, they put it in place to help the athlete. They didn't necessarily put it in place to take that with the portal and use it as free agency. And that's really what it's become. And it's free agency at a level that has no parameters. It's not like professional baseball. But the way I see it is, okay, if we're going to use it, how can we benefit our kids that are already here to enhance their opportunities financially, to better their packages to come into school, give them some money along on the side that allows them to develop equity and build a bank account, and then at the same time concentrate on the things that they need to concentrate on, and that is not making money, but just developing relationships, building a team, being part of something special, and taking care of your athletic and academic growth. And I think if you put too much on a plate for these kids, it becomes very difficult, and you know, when they're 18, 19, 20 years old, their brain is continuing to develop. And what we're adding to them, I mean, these decisions were made by adults, which is mind-boggling to me, but they were. And they put these kids in real tough positions. And who benefits from it? You know, everyone's trying to make a buck. You know, it's an advisor, it's an agent, it's someone who's trying to broker a deal between a school or pull a kid out of another school to get him to another school for a dollar. I think that stinks. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But it is what it is, and I think for a lot of people to say, well, you keep your thoughts to yourself. It doesn't matter what you think, and it doesn't. So what we've got to do is just adjust internally inside what we're doing to try to create the best situation that's still going to create harmony within our program.
I never want you to keep your thoughts to yourself, especially when you're on this show. You know that.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Right. I appreciate you. Coach, good to talk to you. Okay. Congratulations to everybody that that got drafted. And, hey, you know, it may be July, but we'll have fall ball soon. So looking forward to it.
Thanks, Cabe. Thanks for the opportunity, and good talking to you.
Absolutely. Tim Corbin, Vanderbilt baseball coach, here with us on the show. And, look, this is one reason why he's one of the best. He doesn't hold back. He tells it like it is, and that's what I like about him, for sure. Coming up next, we will talk a little bit about the game that I don't necessarily care about that much tonight in the All-Star game, and react to some of the things that you heard there with Tim Corbin. Chase McCabe Show, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Appreciate Tim Corbin for joining us, Vanderbilt baseball coach. Really good stuff. And, again, I love the honest conversations with Corbs. That's why we have him on, for sure. Let's give something away, why don't we? A pair of three-day passes to the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix in Nissan Stadium on August 4th through the 6th. Caller number 5, 615-737-1025, will win a pair of three-day passes to the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix at Nissan Stadium in the streets of Nashville. Caller number 5 right now, and you will win those tickets. I can tell you there will be discussions on some of the things that we just had with Coach Corbin for a while. I mean, I remember those talks about the draft and where, you know, being in the middle of things. Cause I think Dansby Swanson got drafted number one overall, and they were, I can't remember if they were in Omaha or if it was a super regional. I think it was a super regional when it was going on, and he like couldn't enjoy the moment, and he was going number one overall. So obviously that changed, and it was a good thing that it changed. Home Run Derby last night was a lot of fun. I think it's one of the best skill competitions in sports. Vlad Guerrero Jr. gets the win, but you know, Pete Alonso has won a couple of these things, and once again gets knocked out, you know, I guess it was the first round this year. It's fun. I watched it, you know, even though I think it was like 2.5-3 hours, I watched the whole thing. And you know, then tonight you got the All-Star game, which you can hear right here on 102.5, 106.3 the game. And I will tune in. I will check it out. I probably won't watch the whole thing because, you know, and I'm glad they changed the rule. You know, it used to be that it actually meant something that, you know, whichever league won got home field advantage in the World Series. I'm glad they don't do that anymore. But, so All-Star game tonight. And I just, you know, All-Star games in general, even the All-Star race in NASCAR, doesn't do a ton for me. That's just kind of how I am at this point. Maybe it's getting older, and that's just how I feel. That'll be tonight for sure. Obviously, a lot happening with Pat Fitzgerald being fired from Northwestern and that continuing situation, the evolution there, as he was let go. He did release a statement. And part of that basically said that he maintains that he had no knowledge whatsoever of any form of hazing within the Northwestern football program. He also said that he and the university had come to an agreement that there would be a 2-week suspension. And then he was surprised when the president of Northwestern decided to make that change and ultimately fire him. So this is far from over. I have a feeling there's, you know, the lawyers will get involved. They've already gotten involved. He's lawyered up. So now the question is more going to come out And is it going to come out that he did know what was going on and just turned a blind eye? Or, you know, did he have – I mean, you're the head coach. You got to know something's going on. Now, you know, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt that maybe he heard, okay, there was some hazing going on, and he didn't realize it was to the level that it ultimately was. But still, you can't sit there and go, I had zero knowledge that any of that was going on. I find that very hard to believe, you being the head coach. So, again, an evolving situation with Northwestern and, you know, a program that it's going to take a while, I think, to rebound from. I mean, they had already not been doing all that great on the field, and now they have this that they got to deal with now for a while. So, So Pat Fitzgerald out at Northwestern. And continue to get some text in on the Cowherd's comments on if Andrew Luck should be in the Hall of Fame. The Titans fan was making his case big time for Andrew Luck being in the Hall of Fame. I respect it. That shows you that, you know, respect is on his end. I disagree with Colin Cowherd. I don't think he should be in the Hall of Fame. I think he's the Hall of really, really good, but that's it. He played six seasons, and in my opinion, was really, really good in those six seasons. He was not Hall of Fame good.
Exactly. And yeah, I was kind of answering some phones earlier, but you mentioned about the All-Star game tonight. I hate to circle back around to it, but, you know, Willie's a big All-Star guy. I don't know if you knew that or not. Willie's a big All-Star game kind of guy. He's telling us yesterday on the show that, you know, likes the Home Run Derby, but also All-Star game.
Willie loves
the pitching matchups.
Willie loves baseball.
I mean, who doesn't, though?
Willie, well, yeah, it's good for the soul. Like, I love baseball, too, but, oh, trust me, I know Willie will be watching pitch for pitch tonight. and that's okay. That's fine. I mean, if that's what you want to do, and like I said, I'll tune in, but, you know, the Braves got a ton of all-stars, but, like, their pitchers aren't going to pitch.
I believe the whole World Series team, even though a lot of them are not on the Braves still, I believe Dansby's an all-star.
Freddie's there.
I mean, it's almost like the whole lineup is there.
Soler's there?
Yes, yeah. Soler is there.
Soler power? Yeah, I got a little sad now.
Don't feel sad.
Look, this team now is better than that team.
There you go.
But it's like, you know, I saw Freddie last night, and it's like, oh, you know.
What could have been?
What could have been? I know. That whole situation is still weird to me. And then Dansby, you know, like, I like Dansby a lot. I think Dansby's a good player. But I would not have paid him. And what they're getting out of Arcia is okay.
Production through the roof.
Yeah, and you're getting him cheaper. So, you know, I thought Dansby was streaky at times. Didn't live up, and this is the hard part. I mean, good player, not number one overall pick player.
Yeah,
you know that's what he's been, and they traded for him. I mean, Arizona drafted him, and then the Braves traded for him, and good player. I mean, and he was a key part of that World Series team, but I wouldn't have paid him as much as he got, and good for him. And now he's with the Cubs. So,
yeah, and yeah, it was bittersweet because when he went to the Cubs, he told me – well, he didn't tell me, but he told the –
oh, he told you? You guys on first-name basis?
First-name basis, phone numbers exchange all the time, whatever. But, no, I was listening to MLB Network when he signed with the Cubs, and he said something about his – paraphrasing with his granddad being a Cubs fan, and it just became full circle for him that Chicago was his next landing spot.
His wife's there from there?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I get it. So, All-Star game, you can hear that on one – yeah, look at this lineup. Acuna, Freeman. I've seen that before. Acuna, Freeman, Betts, Martinez, Arenado, Sean Murphy's in the starting lineup. Orlando Arcia is in the lineup. So should be fun, but yeah, maybe I'll end up watching more than I say. Who knows? I'll have a full report tomorrow.
There
How
you
about
go.
That?
The first three, four innings is good enough.
Yeah. Coming up next, it's Caroline Willie and D Mace. They will continue D Hop Watch for sure. You know that. And also everything going on with Northwestern. That is next. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.